Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres get ready to wrap up their latest series in Colorado, and we've got Annie Heilburn and Bill Center in studio, who, when the last time they were together, got to enjoy the company of SpongeBob and Patrick. Unfortunately, Bill can't seem to find them this time.
Bill was out there earlier trying to find them as well, and right. I don't think he was successful.
No, but I haven't seen him yet.
But without any guests who live in a pineapple under the sea, we did manage to lure Bill into the studio with the promise of tasty food.
Not only the brats, but the polar sausage, kielbasa. I'm a sausage fiend.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Annie Heilbrun and Bill Center.
Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome to Padres Social Hour. We're here at Petco Park. The Padres are in Colorado trying to get that sweep today. I'm Annie Heilbrun, joined by Bill Center, who your eyes just lit up as soon as you heard those SpongeBob characters.
I'm a big fan. I mean, I really am. I really enjoy it.
Okay, great game last night, Bill. A weird game, a great ending to the game. I think that's what we want to say there, right? A three-run ninth inning. Brett Wallace with the go-ahead run there. What did you think of that whole ninth inning? Liked it, right?
Yeah. But again, the Padres this year, if they've shown one thing, is the ability to come back late in games. Sadly, they've had to do that too many times. But yeah, they do have the ability to have big innings, to come back. And that's, you know, a couple years ago, in fact, last year, a lot of fans thought they stopped taking interest in this team or halted for a while because – they called him boring, and it was something that we heard quite a bit.
I agree.
This ball club was boring. Well, this addition, for whatever, I mean, it's not what we thought it was going to be, but it has never been boring. I mean, the whole season.
I think it's a great point because in the past, when they were down, you'd turn off your TV. You'd walk away.
Right.
You'd think, well, not all of us, but some people, you'd think, well, that's it. Once they're down, they're down. There wasn't that resurgence like you see this season where they can come back, their ability to come back. I mean, I think.
Quite honestly, in 13 and 14, that if they gave up two or three runs early, it was over.
Exactly.
And you were just playing out the string. I mean, last year they were at the bottom of almost every statistical category in the major leagues. Now, I know shutouts have been a problem this year. There's no question about that. They've had more than they ever expected. But at the same time, they have the ability to go out and score a lot of runs in a very short time.
Yeah, and to your point, they have an ability to come back, and that is something that we just didn't see. So Brett Wallace, like we talked about, he is our firehouse sub of the game. Clutch moment last night, came in off the bench, just like Corey Spangenberg. How about that, right? How about him being able to get that in?
You know, Wallace has really filled an important role. In fact, Pat Murphy talked about it a couple days ago. Now that you've got Spangenberg back and you've got Norris backing up Alonso at first, there's really not a position that this guy can play. He's not a third baseman. He played more first base as a position player than third base. He can play both, but he's not really in the mix at either spot right now. What he is his position is bat. And he now has become the most valuable left-handed pinch hitter on the bench. I mean, he's 7-for-29 as a pinch hitter. He's got a home run. He's got 5 RBIs now, and that's not a bad total for a pinch hitter, and that's what he is. He is the left-handed bat on the bench.
You need to know your role.
Right.
That is his role. So he gets
And he's done very well at that role.
Well, and last night he gets the go-ahead. He drives in the go-ahead run.
He gets
that RBI single. So because of that, we are calling you, Brett Wallace, our firehouse sub of the game because you're the bat.
He deserves it. He deserves that today.
All right, make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. Yeah, I agree. He does deserve that. And it was just a nice inning to see that they were able to get some small ball going there. I mean, we're so used to the long ball there in Colorado, and they were able to make stuff happen with the bunts and get guys – and also the – Hundley helped out, of course, Nick Hundley, with overthrowing to first. But, hey, you take advantage of that. And Pat Murphy challenging the call with Corey Spangenberg and making sure that he got to first base. I think all those are things that you just, at that point, you're taking advantage of and you're tightening it up and you're making sure that you get it done.
Plus, great idea. Spangenberg back, second day back from the disabled list, and he lays down the bunt. knees fine. He really looked good running to first.
I was watching him run. They were playing the replays of him kind of in slow-mo, and he looks great. I mean, this guy's got some stride to him. He's so speedy, and he was talking after the game about how beneficial that is and how he knows that's one of his strengths and that's something that can really help the team out. And
so you better run.
Exactly. You know, you see him right there. It's like he's like a giraffe.
Right.
Do giraffes run fast?
No.
Okay. Well, they have long strides.
They lope.
Well, he's like a fast giraffe,
right.
Bill.
I don't think I've ever seen they lope. Okay. We'll go with that.
You'll just go with that.
Right.
Just
hear
me out.
It's good now because the Padres, I think one of their top prospects now in the minor leagues is also a speed guy, which you want speed guys. And I could see in the future, depending on how it works out, you could have Jankowski at the top of the order and Spangenberg, and that's going to really up the speed potential of this team.
Yeah, and it gives a manager options. It just gives your team an extra added advantage. And so I think that's – like you said, something that can only help and as long as their bat's working too, I mean, there you go. You're good.
You know, a lot of people have talked about Spangenberg at shortstop, and I don't think that he's an everyday shortstop, but I could certainly see him playing some shortstop in the future and becoming that super sub-utility infielder. And with him and Amarista, if Amarista's still around, although they are both left-handed, that I think that really gives you two guys in there that can play all three positions and do quite a bit if you go out and get a shortstop.
And so then you're able to have some versatility. And like you said, and I don't want, you know, the tweets to start coming in, you need to go out there and get that shortstop that's going to be your solution at that position.
Right.
But to have the versatility is helpful. It's helpful when you never know. Look at the season even this year and the differences that we've had at second, third, all around the infield. You just never know when you're going to need that in there.
I don't know if in the future Spangenberg projects to be an everyday starter. I'm not quite sure that he's there. But a bench with the two reserve infielders being Spangenberg and Amarista Spangenberg can also play the outfield. So you've got two guys that can play multiple positions would really sort of solidify your bench.
And young. Spangenberg's young.
Right.
Yeah. So
he might be a starter. I'm not saying that he can't be a starter, but generally you're looking for a little bit more at third and second than he's got in terms of run production.
And you know, you just never know when guys are going to evolve and they're going to really come into their own and everything. And so it'll be interesting to see with him because there's already so much upside with Corey Spangenberg and you see it. And so as he gets more and more comfortable and he's able to really hone his skills, how that's going to turn out, it's going to be great.
And he's a hard worker. That's the other thing. He's a very hard worker. And I always like players that know their game.
Yeah.
And he knows his game.
It's been fun to watch him, and I know Will Myers has not been healthy, but it's been fun to watch he and Will Myers and kind of their relationship go because there's these two young players, and Will's more talkative than Corey, I think anyways, but they're both kind of, you know, they're funny, they enjoy the competition part of it, they're a little bit pushing each other, and if they can grow together and they can sort of evolve and help each other grow in this game, I think will be a nice touch as well.
I think Spangenberg's a strong part of this team moving forward.
I agree, and that's a good thing. Jed Jerko, another RBI last night. He's got 10 RBIs in the last four games, 13 for the month of August. What have you seen from him?
Well, one, he's not chasing bad pitches. He's laying off the stuff that he can't hit, laying off the low and outside pitches. Mm-hmm. And he's making pitchers, because of that, he's making pitchers come to him. I mean, if they throw low and outside and he lays off of it, it's a ball. So he's a step in the right direction, and he's doing a very good – I think he's really picked up his game quite a bit. In fact, we got three guys right now, Jerko, Justin Upton, and Matt Kemp, who all have eight-game hitting streaks with two home runs in the mix.
Yeah.
And so we got three parts of the lineup going well right now.
That is a very good thing. But like you said, an eight-game hitting streak, each of them with two home runs.
Right.
I mean, that you want that ability to push each other. When one guy's doing well, you know, you look at that and you go, well, I want to do well as well, and you want to be able to lift the team up. You don't want to be the guy that's dragging it down. And so you see that, how that can start to, you know, snowball and hopefully help that lineup evolve over time and get more people on that same page.
And for better or worse, they've been 3-4-5 here pretty much the last eight games. And so from those three spots, you in the last eight games, you've had six home runs and 20 RBIs. That's not bad.
That is not bad. Right. Exactly. And that's what you're hoping to get from the middle of the lineup there.
Right.
So a nice touch, and hopefully they keep that going again today. Like I said, they're in Colorado for game three of the series.
What better place?
What better place? If you want to keep your hitting streak going, Colorado is the place to do that, right?
Exactly.
You want to up those averages, Colorado, everyone. It's
just think of the amount of water it takes to water that outfield.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. I know. I like that ballpark the way that it's interesting.
I love the ballpark. I think Coors Field is a beautiful ballpark.
Right.
I don't like the way the game is played there.
It's just so different.
Right. It's a lot different. I mean, baseball at that altitude, and they did as good a job possible building that ballpark to meet what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that they now have the humidors for the baseball. It does bring it in a little bit, but baseball at that altitude and that size of a ballpark is a lot different than you see anywhere else.
It's just it's so funny to me in baseball how the playing field like that can be so different,
right.
You know, and I remember Clint Barmas talking about it because he had played in Colorado for a number of years, really. And he talked about how it just takes its toll on your body. It just does.
Right.
I mean, you can't help it, you know. So people would come there and they'd see their averages go up, but then their body would start to feel the effects of it.
Because you don't have you're not playing with the oxygen that you are at a lot of places. And it's not the home runs, because the ballpark is sort of built to take away the home runs.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is, it's the singles and doubles and triples that the gaps are so huge.
That's
crazy. I mean, balls just fall in there. And the outfielders play so deep, mm-hmm. anything in front of them is a single. So there's like 8-9 runners on base almost every game that wouldn't normally be there.
So way too much ground to cover out there.
Right.
Way too much real estate, I would say. All right. We want to talk more about the game when we come back. I want to talk about the humidor as well, because I thought that was interesting when I was reading a little bit about it today. So maybe some people out there don't know what that is, so we'll talk about it. But we'll get to that. We'll get to some of the dugout stuff that we saw yesterday, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the key players in the game and about today's game. So we'll get to all that when we come back. Want to remind everyone, whether you're a casual wine sipper or a connoisseur, you won't want to miss Winefest at Petco Park, presented by Southwest Airlines. Enjoy this happy hour event from 4:30 to 7 p.m. before the Padres game against the Cardinals on Friday, August 21st. Enjoy wines from local and regional wineries. Ticket packages available at padres.com/party. If you want to join in on the conversation, tweet us using the hashtag PadresSH or go to padres.com/social hour to join in on the chat. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Beautiful Sunday in San Diego. The Padres are in Colorado. They've already taken a series. It's their first series win at Coors Field since 2012. But they're going for the sweep, Bill, because why not?
Sweeps have been a problem for the Padres this year.
But you got to go for it.
Well, right. But since they swept the Rockies here the first couple days in May, they've had a chance to sweep seven other series. And they've been 0-7 in the third game of each of those. So, yeah, I know. So this is getting a sweep here would be good. But and that's one of the things, they really haven't had that long winning streak, and that's part of the thing.
I think, that's kind of like a look at their season. It's a small look at their season as a whole, in that they haven't been able to string up the wins.
Right when you think you're on a little bit of a roll, you got a sweep possibility, and then they lose, and they've been 0-7 in those games. That's been a little bit – That's unusual.
That's really actually very interesting.
Right.
May, was it May that you said?
May 1st through 3rd, they swept the Rockies.
Yeah,
here at
see, that's, that is telling, because that's exactly what you're saying. I mean, you don't want to go that long. You want to be able to use that momentum to continue to get rack up the wins. And, you know, even taking 7 of 8 or something like that, but you are able to get 3, 4, 5 in a row.
Right.
So
you know what momentum is in baseball?
It's only as good as your starting pitcher the next day.
Right.
It's only as good as the next day's starting pitcher.
You got it.
It's the best. One of the best baseball-isms
that
I think we all use, right? What's another good one? There's so many good ones.
But that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, exactly. And it's true, though. I mean,
we've seen it
happen so many times this season where they have a blowout the day before. They win by a landslide. Or even like we saw last night, they just have a great ninth inning or whatever it is. And then you like you said, you go into the following day and you think, oh, they've got this. You know, this is nothing. And then it just falls apart.
Right.
So,
Inconsistency. That's the other, right.
Consistency in life is what you need, right? Okay, the humidor. When I think humidor, I think of cigars. Doesn't tell you anything about me, but I just think of cigars. And so tell me about this in Colorado. This is something that every ball that comes that is used
there. Well,
they've
had it there for a while now, yes.
And goes through the humidor.
Right. Well, it's stored in a humidor.
Right.
Right. And what it does is it adds a little bit of elasticity. It adds a little bit of liquid because the balls aren't wet, but it just sort of softens them up a little bit so that they're not at altitude. Things get rock hard and they carry, and it's just designed to reduce that carry a little bit to make the ball not rocket like off the bat like it did before the humidor days. And the Padres, actually, a lot of the Padres players have a background with a humidor treated balls because they use the humidor in El Paso.
Mm.
They also use the humidor in a couple other AAA cities. Albuquerque, I think, uses the humidor. And the idea is just to make the game, to make the ball so they don't quite carry as far and leave the bat as hard. And it makes the game a little bit more like the game we're used to.
Makes the game a little fairer.
Right. Right, yeah. For both teams. I mean, so, yeah, it doesn't really help one team or another. And somebody once asked me, well, why are the Rockies just throwing humidor balls and that we have the – no, it's every ball that comes into play there comes out of the humidor. But they're not just put in, like, for a couple minutes. They store the balls there. It's a process that takes – it's not like a quick freeze or a it's a process that takes quite a bit of time.
It's a thing.
Right.
You're not throwing them in your freezer the night before or
something and trying
to get that same effect.
Right. And I have like and I've actually been there to see it, and they have a program where they put the last balls in, and they'll stay in the they move them up so that it's the balls that have been
Got
there
it.
The longest are the ones that are used.
Does it look like a freezer?
Yes.
All
it
right.
looks it looks like it looks like what you would see in a, you know, it's not a freezer. But it looks like one.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool. It's, you know, like you said, it's another thing for them to make sure that the park is playing a little more fair and stopping all of those balls from. I'm sure you remember when they were all flying out.
Right.
There was.
And I mean,
was a home run.
And it's they keep the balls at the same temperature no matter what the temperature is outside or the humidity level. The balls are kept at a constant temperature. They're kept at a constant humidity level so that when they come out, every ball is the same.
Now you know, all right? Now you know. If anybody out there is watching, there's like a good trivia in all that. Now you know. Thank Bill for that, for making you smarter and me smarter. All right, we want to talk a little bit about that dugout scuffle that happened yesterday. And I'll just wrap it up real quick.
Well, it wasn't a scuffle.
It wasn't a scuffle. It was a...
There was no scuffling.
What would you call it?
I would call it one of those a brain fade moments.
I would call it a strange moment.
Right.
A strange moment. Basically, Justin Upton was run down. He was trying to get from second to third, and he was run down. He was out. He got a little upset. He threw his helmet. It accidentally hit Yonder Alonso.
Right in the side of the head.
Right in the side of the head. I can't imagine that feels good.
No.
And then Yonder Alonso got a little upset. There it is. So it was a weird moment. It was obviously – Justin Upton felt bad about it, but at the same time, it hurt.
Right, right.
It hurt Yonder Alonso.
Right.
So.
Now, we're not here, but what it looked to me is when you look at how he flung it, it looked like probably he had pine tar either on his hands or in a helmet. And as he was flinging it down, which I've seen a lot of players do.
All the time.
But it sort of looks like it stuck and took off. And
yes.
And that's one of those things that afterwards it's like, oh, I can't believe I just did that. I mean, I know I saw the reports this morning, Corey Brocks, that they talked it out last night, and Upton probably learned a lesson. Personally, I don't like to see outward signs of temper in a closed situation, because things can happen that you just don't expect will happen.
Yeah, that's something that we've seen in professional sports, and people handle things different ways. Pat Murphy said the same thing, though. He said there really isn't a place for that. It's kind of unhealthy. It comes across unhealthy. It just doesn't really resonate well, because you feel, you know, as any of you in a workplace would feel, if someone does that or in your workplace, you start to feel a little bit of that tension.
Well, and not only that, you never know what exactly is going to happen.
Right.
I remember, it must have been 15 years ago, they had in one of the dugouts, it might have been St. Louis, they had a water cooler with one of those glass bottles. Mm. And somebody took a bat to it, and the thing just shattered in 1,000 pieces when it got hit.
Yeah.
And a couple players actually got nicked by the – nobody got hurt seriously. But flying glass is not good.
Right.
I mean, it can go anywhere, like eyes or – so, yeah, I just – I've never and people – I just don't like outward signs of frustration or temper. Really serves no purpose.
Right. And it's, you know, sometimes it's also if you're feeling that sort of way, hey, get in the clubhouse for a minute, let yourself cool off, come back out. Don't necessarily take that out in the dugout.
Right. I got to say this for Justin, though. One, he knew he made a mistake. He wore it, and he was not mad at anybody else. He was mad at himself.
He's mad at himself.
Right.
He said after the game that it was childish of him and that he shouldn't have thrown it. And
he took
responsibility.
Right.
And
they talked.
And they talked it out. Right. And Pat Murphy said that he didn't approve of that kind of behavior.
Right.
So I mean, everything got talked out and whatnot. I think, you know, viewers watching it were probably like, "Wait, what the heck is going on?" You know, I think it was a strange moment. That's all.
Right. And with Alonso, you get hit in the side of the head by anything at any time, and you're not happy.
It hurts. Right. It hurts. You know, like you said, I think the funny part is not funny, but. Guys throw that helmet down all the time, and I think it was just, like you said, a weird thing in this in his hands, his fingers, and it ricocheted. It just kind of went backwards.
Now, I've seen guys throw helmets down and bounce back up and
hit
them in the face. Right.
Then they really feel stupid.
Right, that's
all right? I'm sure in your day you've seen a lot of strange things, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw a guy when I was in junior college. This is a long time ago. I saw a hitter throw his bat down, and the thing went up in the air, and he went to catch it, and it came down and hit him on top of the helmet. So. That was like, and there were guys that just, we were watching that, and we were just dying.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a million things. Right. And, you know, a lot of people, too, I mean, we don't all walk around with or at our workplaces with cameras on us, you know. So there's certain things that you see that, you know, they have cameras on them that you pick up on because the broadcast is on them or because there's reporters watching them or because there's a cell phone taking a picture. So there's just a whole bunch of things that I think now are kind of out there in the open.
Gotcha.
Right. But anyways, We move on. Yes, we move on from that last night. We're going to get to a lot more after the break, Bill. I want to talk about Derek Norris, too, and his catcher caught stealing because he is really killing it in that area as he – has been for the entire season. So we'll talk about that when we come back too. And I want to remind you, if you're looking for paradise, Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park at Park at the Park or the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Join us on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH or Padres.com/social hour to join the chat. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We are here at Petco Park in the Padres team store. You know what I think is cool, Bill? Soon, I know that they're going to do this, is one of the shots leading in either to Social Hour or the broadcast or on Fox Sports San Diego will be Kemp hitting for the cycle. And, you know, like it'll be that triple or that moment. And I think that's just cool. It's going to be like a part of, from going forward, it's part of the history now.
You know what I'm looking forward to
in terms
of shots leading in?
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to next year when they have the Padre Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping that part of our show will have a shot of the Hall of Fame.
I think that'll be essential.
Right.
And it's so cool because Ron Fowler said at the Hall of Fame ceremony that they're going to have a physical Hall of Fame. We've talked about that a little bit. But you're right, just kind of a tie-in to the history here at the ballpark and the players that have come through here who have made that Hall of Fame.
I think that when they finish the Hall of Fame here, and it'll give older fans, fathers, a chance to take their kids through and say, hey, I remember this player. This is a name you might want to know.
You've been to a lot of ballparks, so I'm sure you've seen how much that can affect kind of the vibe and the feel of certain ballparks.
The Hall of Fame right now that I've been to that I've really – Cincinnati has a really great Hall of Fame for the Reds. And, of course, That is also, I don't know if you know, the very oldest franchise in professional sports.
Yeah.
1869. They were professional before anybody else was professional.
1869?
Right. Which explains their undefeated.
Not even you saw any of those
right,
games,
which explains Phil. Their undefeated season that year. They
they were the only ones?
Right. They were the only professional team. So they would play the players, and, of course, they'd play against everybody else. So all the ones who wanted to get paid.
They were with them, right.
But their museum is really, really good. And I'm sort of thinking that they've seen that museum. And I can't wait because I love museums to begin with.
Yeah.
So I really am looking forward to that.
It just lends a lot, especially in the newer ballparks where you don't always have some of those moments that, you know, happened 50 years ago and things like that. It just you're able to recreate and really honor some of the things that have happened with the franchise.
And there's going to be, I understand there's going to be a minor league element to Lane Field and Westgate Park. So there's so much in the baseball heritage here in San Diego that goes back quite a long way. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, and not only fathers and sons or you know, dads or moms and their kids, but people who are, and there's nothing wrong with this, people who are kind of fringe baseball fans. Maybe they come for a game or two during the season. Maybe they come with their friends. It's an easy way to learn about baseball.
And
it's fun.
And being on site, it's just going to be, another thing that come a little early to Petco Park and take a chance.
Exactly.
Take a moment, walk through the Hall of Fame. And just touch with the past.
Are you really looking forward? Are you, like, stoked? That's a word, Bill, for the All-Star game. Are you looking ahead for that?
Yes.
Are you just, all right.
No, I don't know what my limited role will be, but I am excited that it's going to be here. Yeah. And, I am really happy that the ownership really made a concerted effort as soon as they took over this ball club to bring the All-Star game here, and it worked out, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's going to do a lot of things for San Diego and for the ballpark, and it's going to just – a lot of the ideas that I think this organization has had over the past few years, they're really going to set into motion in 2016, and I think that's going to be part of – part of the All-Star experience, but it's just going to do a lot that will lend itself for years to come. Past the All-Star, past 2016,
right.
It will do some things here that will change the
landscape. No, I think it's
going
to be sensational.
Yeah. Okay, I did want to talk about Derek Norris, Bill. Where is he at? Yeah, 31 catcher caught stealings, the most on the season, the most of any player right now, and his career high. It's really remarkable what he's been able to do.
Well, his career high was 8. So we eclipsed that a long time ago.
He's really jumped that, right?
Right.
Oh, man, it's crazy to think about that with him from last year to this year, just how much, obviously playing more games, having more of a role on the roster, but then being able to – he did have, had some a little bit of a downtime, I think, at the plate, but he's been able to stay consistent as a catcher and able to stay consistent in this role.
Well, the throws are very accurate, and that's the main thing. Strong arm. The most important thing about throwing out runners is to put the ball between the second base bag and the runner, and he's been able to do that with great consistency. I think that is the very strong point. Now, National League game runs more than the American League game. So he's gonna get more opportunities. But that's one thing where he's really stepped it up, done very well.
Yeah, that's a great thing to point out. It's swayed a little bit.
Right. And he works with a pitching staff that some of them don't always hold the runners on as well as some others. So there are guys players running on this team because they think they can get a jump on a pitcher.
They're going to be able to make that.
He's had opportunities.
Yeah, he had 3 last night, and some of them you see, and there's some that he hasn't been able to hit and make on target, but as a whole, just the consistency is a good thing for that right there. Yeah, you're right about the pitching. Speaking of the pitching, Cashner yesterday,
back to Norris. He's now, his hitting has now picked up.
Yeah, I agree.
And last 4 games, he's had 3 doubles and a home run, and he's getting a little bit more of a break here with Austin Hedges, and now he's playing a little bit at first base, which he's playing first base today. And I think that getting a little bit of a break, although he wants to catch every day, I think getting that little bit of a break has helped his hitting.
Even for Derek Norris, who sometimes – you tend to think has superhuman powers because he kind of, you know, exudes that.
No.
It is a tough position. It is. And catching is a tough position. It takes a toll on your body.
He was down into the 220s, the high 220s. Now he's up into the 240s. So he's picked it up.
So that's a good sign. Cashner last night, five innings, a little bit over five innings, seven hits, four earned runs. How did you feel about how he did as a whole?
Well, Colorado's a hard place to
exactly
judge. But over his last four starts, he has not been as electric as he was the four or five starts before that. He's in a little bit of a rut right now. He hasn't gone more than six innings in his last four starts, and his ERA in those starts is up over five. So he's in a little bit of a struggle right now, but I tend to always throw out a visit
to Colorado
for a pitcher.
It's the outlier.
Right.
How do you
Arizona.
And Arizona. The season as a whole for Cashner has just been, and I know he went through what he did with his mom, and there were some good starts. He's just had a little bit of a tougher season than I think people expected.
A lot of it. He's been very inconsistent this season. I mean, every once in a while you see what he can do. And, I mean, it's going to be interesting when they do the postseason evaluation on Cash and what they tell him. And I mean, he's had a lot of bad luck. Boy, he leads the league in the unearned runs. But he's also given up more homers than he's ever given up before. He's walked guys in strange bunches. There are times where he'll be out of an inning and give up a hit on an 0-2 pitch. Mm-hmm. And these are all frustrations that moving forward he's got to deal with a little bit better.
And sometimes, the inability, what they tended to do better when they in past years is they might load the bases, but they get out of it.
Right.
And this year they've had a tougher time doing
Good point, Annie. They've had a much tougher time this year working their way out of jams. And even when there are errors.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his defense hasn't always been
but,
up to par.
But
the
defense picks up pitchers at times.
Exactly.
Pitchers have to pick up defense.
Exactly.
And there are times where I really do think this year that Cash has gotten a little rattled in some situations. And that's addressable, and it's hard to do it in a season. But I think that's something you can work on.
And it's something I think as a fairly young player. Would you call Cashner young?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Fairly.
Particularly in terms of not only young in age, but young in terms of how much he's thrown.
Exactly. So as a fairly, inexperienced or innings thrown, I would think this is part of the evolution. Like you've got to now take a long, hard look at yourself in the offseason and get that personal accountability for what you need to fix and work on and say, all right, well, I'm going to have to head into 2016 with all these things under my belt or having at least put some time and effort into those.
Coming into this year, and I wrote earlier, I do a five thoughts every column on every day on Padres.com.
I enjoy it.
Coming into this year, I wrote something earlier that I thought that Cashner and Ross would really hit their strides in 2016, not this year.
Not this year.
Right. I thought they needed one more year. I thought Cashner needed a whole year, which has happened, of getting starts. And I thought Ross just needed another year of really realizing how good he is.
Yes.
And I thought 2016 is when they hit their strides.
And you still feel that way about both?
Right.
Okay. Interesting. I think that's interesting. Ross, too, I think one of the things about him is the ability to, like you said, believe in his stuff and on a consistent basis and know that, I think with him, he's gone through some adversity and then be able to come back from it, And once you can really harness that, you can start to do that more consistently and have a better season.
Right.
So I think he's getting there as well. But interesting. So you had predicted that.
Right.
Bill Stradamus.
Right. Well, let's see if it works out next year.
All right. Yeah, exactly. We'll ask you next year. It's a good thing. I hope, Seth will save this like he saved Jesse's prediction of the cycle.
Cycle, right.
And there you go. We'll be able to revisit it. Yeah, all right. Okay. Calling all midshipmen. I've always wanted to say that. Calling all midshipmen. No? Join the Padres on Wednesday, September 2nd for Naval Academy Night and get a Padres hat and Naval Academy colors. Enjoy a night of baseball as the Padres face the Rangers at 7:10 p.m. Only tickets purchased through Padres.com/Naval Academy will include a themed Padres hat. Hats are limited to the first 500 fans, so get your tickets now. We'll be right back with more. Wait, you got something there, right?
I wonder, that's a great question as to how many graduates of the Naval Academy would be in San Diego. I would imagine it's got to be a large segment of the Naval
that's
Academy
here.
Graduates.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah, it's
right.
A huge right. place for that. Right.
That's an interesting promotion. I like that one.
Well, you know, you've put the call out. We'll right. see. We'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll put you down there and have you do the reporting for that.
Right.
I like it. All right, we'll be right back. More Padres Social Hour coming up here. And send us your questions if you're watching. We're on Twitter and the chat, Padres.com/social hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Beautiful Sunday here in San Diego. The Padres are in Colorado. Game 3 of the series, then they're home for a six-game series, correct?
Right, right.
That'll
homestand.
Be fun. Six-game homestand. I don't know. It's early Sunday, Bill.
Right.
Hey, lots of people in the team store.
Well,
today.
And we just had, drum
we
roll.
Just, okay, drum roll. We just had Miss Catherine.
Right, Venable. Catherine Venable, right.
Yeah.
With the baby.
With the baby.
Pushing the baby
right.
around, which, by the way, one of my favorite couples. Will Venable is one of my favorite Padres. There cannot be a nicer person. What he always did with the Monarch School,
yes.
his tenure here, I really and everybody talks about how he's a free agent and he's going to be gone, and that's one guy that in his role as a fourth outfielder, as somebody who's been here as a link from the past to now,
yes.
clubhouse, I want Will back.
Will has just been, this season too, I mean, stepped up in a way, I think, really come into his own as
right.
far as
– Well, he's no longer a starter, that's tough, but – Again, here's a guy that knows his role and
yes.
I think would like to stay here. And that's the guy that I think, okay, we got to figure out how we keep this guy so that we got a bridge.
From absolutely, as a longest tenure Padre in
runs,
there. Right, right. But he's embraced his role. He,
right.
There are players who might look at that and say, you know what, I don't know, maybe have
right.
a little bitterness to them
right.
or whatever. No,
none whatsoever.
Will enjoys the clubhouse. He enjoys the guys. He enjoys his role. He loves when he does well. He loves when other guys do
right.
well. He's just
seldom see him have a bad day.
No, and you seldom see him. He's a very classy
right.
guy, as far as I know. And I know, you know, you don't keep players based on media's liking
right.
of them. But I know when Will was being talked about at the trade deadline, almost every media member in San Diego had some kind of thought about or wrote something about. Oh no, not Will Venable.
But it's just not the media. It's just
exactly.
it's his teammates and
it's
everything
his teammates.
Else. It's like
yeah.
this is an important part of this family.
Well, yeah, sometimes too with Justin Upton and Matt Kemp, you know, they'll be out there doing their in the outfield or whatnot, and Will is so, like you said, he's kind of like that bridge. You know, here's two guys that came in from the outside, gets along with those guys great. They're always kidding and joking
right.
around with him. Gets along with, you know, all the other guys in the clubhouse.
All
and,
the
and
rookies come
the rookies.
Up, go to Will. Right.
And he knows about this ballpark. He knows about this organization. He knows about how he is best acclimated
right.
at Petco. So I think that there's a huge link to that, and it's not just superficial.
No.
It matters when you're talking about, when you're bringing in guys from all different places, you need people in the clubhouse who are those glue people who are not, they don't just turn to their locker and sit there all, you know, the whole
right.
time.
And
he's
one of
the
last,
at the floor.
He's one of the last links, but there
yeah.
we go.
So we want to say hi to Catherine Venable. We appreciate seeing her. And of course, it's great to know that their baby is doing all
right.
doing great. They're doing great. Bill, we're going to put you on the Cholula hot seat. Are you
Kay.
Ready for it?
All right.
All right. Craig Kimbrell, he gets his 33rd save of the season last night in Colorado. We saw a different Kimbrell, I think, in the beginning of the season as maybe opposed to since the All-Star break. But I don't know. I'm trying to find out what you think here. So we're going to put you on the Cholula hot seat. How do you think he is different, if at all?
Well, he's a lot different.
Okay.
Okay. For one thing, over his last 13 game, and over his let's make it the last 42, in his last 42 or 43 appearances, he's only allowed 3 runs.
Yes.
Now, it's interesting to me that he's always pitched in hot weather before mm-hmm. in Atlanta, who they generally start the season in hot weather. I think that as the summers come in and it's gotten warmer all around the country, his fastball looks crisper. His curve looks a little sharper. And I think he's a different pitcher now than he was at the start of the season. And it's tough when you trade it one day before the season starts to the other coast. So I think he settled in. I think we're seeing a much different Craig Kimbrel now than we did in April, May, and early June.
Great points. To me, he seems more comfortable, and you just touched on this, more comfortable in the clubhouse. He kind of smiles more. He's a little more easygoing as far as when he first came in. Not that he was rude or anything like that, but I think it was just tough to be traded from the organization, the only organization you knew and that he was beloved in, and to come to a new place the day before the season started. It's just tough.
All the way across country, too.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I think now, you know, you're starting to see not only on the mound, but just in his presence, just a different feel to him. This is good. Do you think he's going to be part of this? I mean, how do you see the offseason going? You think he's a big link? I know I'm asking you to assume a lot
If you think that you're going to have a good ball club next year, then you need a closer. If you don't think you're going to have a good ball club next year, you don't need a closer, and he would be somebody. But they're building for next year.
I agree.
And I think he's back. Yeah. I don't think you're moving Craig Kimbrel unless you can get a couple really good, strong prospects and somebody to take the salary, which gives you flexibility then on a free agent market.
A lot of different scenarios to weigh out. Right. Exactly.
Every move a ball club makes is not just about talent.
You don't move in a bubble either.
Right.
Everything affects.
Everything affects salary, affects your budget, affects your prospects. Everything affects something else.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, I want to trade this guy for that guy. Those are gone.
Great points. And it is good to see Craig having that kind of a second half that he is having, and both on the mound and in the clubhouse as well. All right, Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. And we appreciate Bill being on the hot seat. You did great, Bill.
Thank you.
As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour right after the break.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Love that shot of everyone coming into the ballpark. Pretty cool. We're going to see that tomorrow when the Padres return for that six-game homestand. Let's take a look at the starting lineup for tonight, for today, Bill, when the Padres are still in Colorado, and the starting lineup is presented by United Airlines. United Airlines, proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. So what are you seeing here, Bill? I see a name that we haven't seen in the lineup for a while.
Spangenberg, start since the end of June when he suffered the bone bruise to his knee. Don't make a big thing out of Norris starting at first base because it's a left-handed pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're using him more against left-handed pitchers at first base. So I like to see Spangenberg get back in there.
How about how he's going to get mixed in with Solarte and Jed Jerko, who have been playing pretty well, and been doing well at their positions?
It's going to be difficult because, those are your two hottest hitters until just recently.
Right.
I mean, Jerko still is. So it's you're not going to bench your hottest hitters.
Exactly. So we'll see how that works out. All right, don't miss the first Padres softball clinic for softball players ages 7 through 14 this Wednesday, directly following the Padres game against the Braves at 12:40 p.m. The clinic is $40 and includes a game ticket, 90-minute post-game softball clinic, autographed photo, and a Padres-themed headband. Register today at padres.com/softballclinic. Very, very cool, and a shout-out to Sweetwater Valley Little League while we're here. On their win and their move to the Little League World Series. We'll be right back. More Padres Social Hour on the way.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. It is almost game time. The Padres and the Rockies, game three of the series.
Sweep.
It's what you're going for. The first one since May, right?
That'd
be a big deal. It'd be a big deal today. I'm not kidding about that. I'm not being sarcastic.
Hey, when you sweep, you're 10-5. When you don't sweep, you're not 10-5.
Yeah, and there's when you have 162 games to play.
Right.
You mentally want that sweep. All right. Okay. Time for the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. In this game or this contest, we can call it. The couch picks a player, blooper picks a player who they think is going to have the best game or the best performance in that game that day. Did I say that right?
You got it.
Close enough. Okay, here are the standings. Blooper 25, the couch 24.
I lost yesterday.
Yeah, you lost. You had Kashner and
he had Jerko.
Jed Jerko, which was a nice pick. So Blooper gets to pick first.
Matt Kemp. I like him during day games.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm going with Justin Upton.
After maybe last night's performance, he's going to want to redeem himself. Matt Kemp. See, Blooper had Matt Kemp on the night of the single as well.
A cycle, right.
Thank you. Not a single. It's a cycle. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, ready to go. Find the Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Oh, cycle, single.
Yeah, Bill, thanks. Same thing.
Thanks for joining us on Padres Social Hour. We appreciate you watching. Thanks, Bill, Seth, Nikki, everyone involved. Enjoy the game, everyone.